Awesome, awesome. We serve an awesome God this morning, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His presence is the table that we gather around. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Galatians 5, verse 6. Circumcision or uncircumcision, it's not worth anything. The only thing that counts, say it with me, the only thing that counts. Okay, let's on the count of three. One, two, three. The only thing that counts, here's the next part, is faith expressing itself through love. Let's say that together. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts. Nothing else matters. The only thing that will move from this earth to into eternity is one thing. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's going to be our theme this year. Amen. The only thing, you should be a little more excited about. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you have showed us what love looks like in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus, come. Baptize us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. Refine us, burn out those things in our lives that need to go. And Holy Spirit, pour the love of Father into our hearts afresh and anew, that it will flow from us in an expression that reveals our faith in the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we meet people, they will have an encounter with the love that comes from Jesus. Do a work in us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So this week, I was doing my devotional reading. And you know when you fast and pray, God begins to speak to you? But you're not always sure how he's going to speak to you. And he can begin to speak to you through the most unusual ways. And that happened to me. I came across this fascinating piece of scripture. And God began to speak to me through reading it. And he began to speak to me in a bit of a unique way. And I shared that that scripture with Pastor Dunstan. He looked at me and went, okay. He didn't get it. And I couldn't understand. So I thought, you know, I'm going to read that passage of scripture for you this morning. And I bet you're all going to get it. Because this is so amazing. You know, you can listen or you can turn. It's in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm going to start reading at chapter 7, verse 14. And here we go. The descendants of Manasseh. Oh, that's got to excite you right away, right? The descendants of Manasseh, Azrael, was his descendant through his Aramean concubine. She gave birth to Machir, the father of Gilead. And Machir took a wife from among the Hippites and the Shuppites. His sister's name was Micaiah. Another descendant was named Zelophehad, who only had daughters. Machir's wife Micaiah gave birth to a son, and he named him Peresh. And his brother's name was named Sheresh. And his sons were Ulam and Rechem. And the sons of Ulam, Bedam, these were the sons of Gilead, the sons of Machir. The sons of Manasseh, his sister Hamiloketh, gave birth to Ishhod, Abiezer, and Mahiah. And the sons of Shedemai were Ahian, Shechem, Lichi, in Amni. Isn't that awesome? One thing I'm glad we is we live in North America with names you can pronounce. Didn't that excite you? My study actually had me going through the full genealogy in Chronicles. You know, the genealogies in the Bible are very important because they help us substantiate the Bible's historical and prophetic accuracy. But frankly, if I'm honest, they're kind of tough to read through. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Kind of tough to read through. So the Holy Spirit prompted me to read through it again. So I said, okay. And I realized, yes, by knowing the family history, we understand that the Bible is far from a story or a parable for how we should live our lives. It is authentic and historical truth. Okay, I understand that. The Holy Spirit prompts me, read it again. I go, okay, that's kind of not fair, but so I did. And he said, again. So I did. And finally, the last time I looked a little closer, and I says, okay, so there's Micaiah and his wife, Makai. They had a baby boy, and they named him Peresh. I wondered if they had a gender reveal party. And then they had another baby. And Peresh now has this little baby brother, Sheresh. Yeah, and then I wondered if they had any baby showers. And then I wondered if Peresh was happy about this new development. Or was he a bit jealous because he was going to have to share his toys with Sheresh? Then I wondered, what kind of toys did they have? And then something fresh began to hit me. Every name represents a person. Every name represents a real person. Real families with real relationships. Each person's name has been meticulously and carefully recorded. And it serves to remind us of the historical and prophetic accuracy, but it also began to remind me, and I hope us, that the kingdom of God is about people. It's about people. It's about people and relationships. And I was, as I was reading through that, and my whole mind and eyes are just glossing over, I realized how easy is it to gloss through the list and take all the names and all the people and all the relationships for granted. And it reminded me of another list. It began to remind me of another list, this list right here. And I looked through it, and there's a bunch of names. What's the name here? David Kosley. Hey, that's a guy right back there. There's another name in here. Gene and Carol Wilson. Oh, that's Gene and Carol Wilson right over there. And I, you know, you go through and you begin to, this is a list and it's full of names and people, but these aren't James and these aren't just names. Every name represents a real person. A real person, real families, real relationships. And I thought, how easy. Do I take people for granted? How easy do I take the relationships for granted? How easy do I look at this list and just think, people in a directory? But these are the people I meet with every Sunday. These are the people I'm in relationship with. These are the people I'm supposed to care about. How easily can we go through this stuff? And how easily do I take people and how easily do I take relationships for granted? You know, in Matthew 22, and you can turn there with me. In Matthew 22, Jesus is in a conversation with a group of people. And he has skillfully answered their questions. And so a lawyer decides that he will test Jesus with a question. Let's take a look, and we find it in Matthew 22, and I'm going to read verses 34 to 36. And there we read, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. And he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And then Jesus gives them this incredibly profound answer. We read it in verses 37 to 40. And Jesus says to them, Jesus replies. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart." We've been singing about that this morning, haven't we? It says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind." And he says, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything hangs on these two commandments. We're pretty familiar with those two commandments too, aren't we? See, the Pharisees, they lived to enforce the law. Listen to what Jesus said about them in chapter 23, verses 1 to 7. And Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are experts in the law of Moses. So everything they teach you, so obey rather everything they teach you. But don't do as they do. After all, they say one thing and do something else." We wouldn't do that, would we? No. Of course not. "They pile heavy burdens on people's shoulders and won't lift a finger to help. Everything they do is just to show off in front of others. They even make a big show of it, wearing scripture verses on their foreheads and arms. And they wear big tassels for everyone to see. They love the best seats at the banquets and the front seats in the meeting places. And when they are in the market, they like to have people greet them as teachers." They lived in this kind of a culture, a legalistic culture that valued this religious behavior and appearance, and this appearance of being holy. They lived for the law but missed the point of the law. The law was ultimately about one thing. It was about one's relationship first to God and then to each other. Like, for instance, here's one of the commandments. I wonder how you like this one. Because the law was about how we should treat each other. Here's one of the commandments: "Thou shalt not kill each other." That's a good one, eh? That really touches on how we ought to relate to one another. "Thou shalt not kill each other." Good one, right? But that's what the law was all about. Ultimately, if you go through it, it was about, first of all, your relationship towards God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And he says, don't steal. Don't steal from your neighbor. Don't kill. Don't covet. This was about your relationship to God and your relationship to one another. And so it's all fulfilled in those two things. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is pointing out that the kingdom of God is not what the Pharisees had turned it into this religious show. But rather, the kingdom of God is about people. It's about people, about their relationship to God and their relationship to one another, our attitude towards God first, and then our attitude and our behavior to one another. That's what the kingdom of God is about, not the religious behavior that the Pharisees had turned it into. And that the culture, the kingdom of God, and that the culture of the kingdom is a culture that values people through caring relationships. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. In other words, with everything that you have, your whole being. Hold nothing back. To love God with all of my heart simply means to make him my greatest treasure. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What he's saying is, let me be your greatest treasure.
To love him with all of your heart is to make God your greatest treasure. There's nothing more valuable than my relationship to Jesus. I value my relationship with Jesus over anything else in my life. After all, he gave everything for me, didn't he? He gave his very life, and we just sang it. And he didn't give his life just so we could perform for him. Jesus died so we could be restored to relationship with him. And out of that relationship, everything else flows. To love God with all of my heart means to make him my greatest treasure. David said it well in Psalm 42. He says, as a deer pants for streams of living water, so my heart longs for you, O God. I long for you. You are my life source. Paul said it. I love what Paul said. He said, nothing compares to the excellency of the knowledge of knowing you. Nothing compares to knowing you. That's why, that I may know him. And out of that place make him known. Nothing compares to the excellency of knowing you. Moses said in Exodus, he says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us from this place. I'm not going. If your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going. Nothing was worth more than him, your presence, Lord. I value you. To love God with all of my heart means to make him my greatest treasure. To love God with all of my soul means loving God with all I am, my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings, my body, my will, my energy. In other words, my attitudes, intentions, and behaviors, my conversations, the words that come out of my mouth are all surrendered to his will, his intentions, and his instructions. You ever think about that? Do I honor him with my body? Do I honor him with my conversations? Are the words that come out of my mouth such words that bring honor and glory to him? Are the intentions in my behavior such that they bring honor and glory to him? God says to love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, my soul is soup, my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings, my will, my attitudes, my behaviors, my intentions. All surrendered to his will. Surrendered to give him glory and honor. Surrendered to him. To love God with all of my mind means I love him with my reason and my intellect. In other words, I am determined to learn and grow in the knowledge of him who called me. If I love him, I want to know him. I want to grow. I want to be taught about him. I want to grow in knowledge. I am determined to learn and grow in the knowledge of him who has called me in order that I may begin to love him as to how his word teaches me to love him, right? See, love, we have this crazy idea of love. We're coming up to Valentine's Day and love, and we're going to get all mushy, and I'm going to take Deb out. No, Deb's going to take me out. Sorry, I got that backwards. I'm going to buy Deb a gift. No. Deb's going to buy me a gift. And we get all these mushy feelings, but I want to tell you something about love. It's observable. It's premeditated. Right? It's thought about. You can see it in action. It's not just this. And the Bible will teach me how to effectively love the Lord my God, who is the treasure of my life. Let me give you an example. From his word, we learn that if you love me, you're going to obey me. You're going to put my teaching into action. It says, his word teaches us that, and it says, anyone who says, I love God, Oh, this is a toughie. He says, anyone who says, I love God, but hates his brother is a liar. Ooh, ouch. Bible says that you know, thou shalt not murder. But Jesus said, if you've even harbored thoughts against your brother, anyone who says, I love God, but hates his brother is a liar. His word begins to teach me what it is to love him fully and completely. Love the Lord your God with all of my heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. But then Jesus went on to say something else. He went on to say, the second is like it. Love the Lord love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? I've heard a lot of teaching on people get hung up, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I have to love myself first before I can love my neighbor. I got to tell you, most of us don't wish evil intent on yourself. Oh, I wish Dunson would come here and just punch me right here. I need to explain to you the second law of thermodynamics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Oh, you would have done that, right? Father, deliver this. It's good to have fun in church, right? Most of us, we don't, you know, we have thoughts and feelings, but we don't normally want to inflict pain or We want to take care of ourselves. We want to buy clothes for, you know, we want to take care of ourselves. And I get there's so much contained in love your neighbor as yourself, and that's important. But you know what I've never heard a sermon on? And the Lord just nailed me with this week. It says, the second is like it. The second is like it. The first commandment says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. The second is exactly the same as the first. Now think about that for a minute. The second is like it. In other words, it's exactly the same as the first commandment. In fact, when we read love the Lord your God, the word used for love is exactly the same word used for love when we read love your neighbor. It's exactly the same word. It's number 25 in the Strong's Concordance. It's agape love. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is exactly the same as the first. And so what does that mean to me? So I'm to love the Lord with all of my heart. But my neighbor? Ooh, just hold on there, Baba Louie. Back out the bus, Gus. You may want to get a new plan, Stan. Love my neighbor? No. Love my neighbor with the same passion I love God? No. Jesus said, the second is exactly the same as the first. It's exactly the same. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. The second is like it. I am to love people with all of my heart. I am to love people with all that I am. In the same way, I value and treasure God. Now, I'm not talking about putting people at the same pedestal as God. That's not what I'm saying. But in the same way I value and treasure God, I am to value and treasure people. After all, he died for them, didn't he? And he values each and every single one of us. In the same way I value my relationship with God, I am to value and treasure my relationships with people. If we are to fully love God, then we are to fully love and value and treasure the people that he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his life, right? The second is the same as the first. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but that deeply challenges me because I love God. There's nothing I want more in my life. But can I honestly say I have the same intensity towards my friends and my neighbors? But if I don't, I have a problem. Because the Word of God says, and this is it, it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think or where I find myself, the Word of God teaches me how I'm to love him. And his Word says, the second is the same as the first. There's no option there. These are the two greatest commandments, and they fulfill everything. And they're in the New Testament. They're part of the new covenant. They're part of the new wine that we're so hungry for. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. To love the Lord your God to love my neighbor as myself, I'm to love him with all of my heart. I am to treasure my relationships with people. I'm to value the people around me. I'm to value and treasure the relationships I have. To love the Lord your God with all your soul, the second is like it. I am to love people with all of my soul. In other words, my thoughts towards them as my thoughts towards God, my thoughts towards them, the thoughts towards the people around me, my thoughts, my feelings, my will, my attitude, my intentions, my behaviors, my strength, my conversations are all focused on loving and caring and helping the people and the relationships around me. The words that come out of my mouth, they bring honor to God. The words that come out of my mouth bring honor to the people around me. With every part of my being, I begin to love people with my intentions, my behaviors, my strength. My conversations are all focused on loving, caring, building, helping, building, looking for the best in people, building up by protecting my relationships. Amen? Everything about me, that's what the Bible says. Right there, the second is like it. That my words, that my actions, that my behaviors, my strength are not aimed at hurting people, but are aimed at loving people, building up people, speaking the truth in love, you know, doing things to protect. Forsake not the gathering of the so that you might encourage, build up, and strengthen. Amen? The same kind of conversations we have with God are the quality of them are the same kind, the quality of conversation we need to have with each other. You know? I was thinking about sarcasm. I don't need to say any more, I think. I'm bad. You know, I can be. And I'm growing, and after I read this, I went, oy vey, God. You know, because the humor that we see on the TV, a lot of the things that we call funny, we got to do a double check, because it's always at the expense of someone. We hurt people, and we call it funny, you know? We talk about people, we gossip about people, and we call it informing one another. the whole prayer request thing, you know. Tell me all about what's going on so I can pray, and then we go to our neighbor. Oh, you need to pray for Joe down the road there, because the things we disguise it, and it's really gossip. You know, the things that we say, you know, our intentions, the intentions of a heart, our behaviors, our attitudes need to be such that they bring honor to people. They lift people up. They encourage people. That doesn't mean that there's not room for correction and those kinds of things, but it's how we do it and why we do it, you know? And whenever I talk like this, somebody always come up to me and begins to talk to me about, well, there has to be healthy boundaries and all of this. And yes, there does. But you know what? Those boundaries will be, the kinds of boundaries we need aren't to hold people out. They're to create an environment for that person's good so they can grow. And what I'm saying is that the attitudes, the intentions of our heart needs to be such that we value the people around us, that we are focused on loving by caring, helping, looking for the best in that person, seeing how we can build that person up. What's the best way I can build that person up? And begin to move in that. You know, and that covers, I don't have time to open that all up, but you hear what I'm saying, protecting, you know, but we need to be positioned to protect and care for the people we are in relationship with, amen? People in general. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. The second is like it. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind. I am to love people. The second is like it. I am to love people with all of my mind. I am determined to grow in my relationships, to learn how to love practically. You know, when Deb and I got married, she didn't know a thing about me. Well, she knew some things about me. She knew that I was amazing and we did things to grow in relationship, and we continue to do things. Learning about each other. You ever stop to think about how can I grow in my relationship with someone else? Maybe not at that level, but, you know, I discovered Pastor Dunstan really likes winning at pool. And my act of love is to let him. I learned that the hard way. Learning about each other to care. Finding out ways, practical ways I can bless and encourage, you know? Each one of these points we could spend a morning on, but I am determined to grow in my relationships, to learn how to love practically. How can I be a blessing? What can I do for you? How can I meet that need in your life if I can? Or maybe I can find somebody who can, you know? How can we work together to learn about each other and meet needs together? I want to know you for who you are because I value you as a person, right? I value you as a person, and I want to learn how I can serve you to make your life better. Imagine a community of people that were postured like that. Wow. See, the kingdom of God is ultimately, it's all about relationship. First to God, and then to each other. Because the culture of the kingdom is a culture that values people through caring relationships. And that's what, I forgot to give you a title at the beginning of the message, Dave, but my title is Pursuing Community, a Kingdom Culture. And the culture of the kingdom is a culture that values people through caring relationships. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. love the second is like it. We should underline that. Love your neighbor as yourself.
You know, as you read through the book of Acts, the first four chapters of the book of Acts, you'll see that when the first believers came to faith in Christ, they immediately discovered this new sense of community. And the Holy Spirit not only turned their hearts toward God through Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit also turned their hearts to one another through Jesus Christ. Because you see the birth of an amazing community. And our vision at Grand Valley Christian Center is to be a community of believers that exists to know Him and to make Him known. A kind of community that brings people to life-changing encounters with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. A community where people experience the genuine love of Christ as expressed through you and through me. A community where relationships are formed and love is expressed in practical ways. A community where people learn to grow and are released to function in their unique gifts and callings. How can I help you grow? A community where people, become active members, sharing and participating in our corporate calling and in our mission, which is to know Him and to make Him known. A community that is able to reach out and meet real needs, both among us and in our city. Amen? You know, if you listen to what's going on in the world, it seems more and more that the culture that exists in the world is a culture of anger and outrage. I heard a statement, I forget the politician who made it, and it was in reference to the U.S. right now, but it was the idea that their country is being pulled apart along two party lines. And he said this: the only thing that's holding our country together, the only thing that our country is rallying around is anger. And it just floored me. You know, the culture that exists seems more and more like a culture of anger and outrage. You know, we've got road rage, we've got parking lot rage, now we've got shopping rage, you know, we've got Facebook rage, cyberbullying, Twitter rage, you know, everything is just all rants and rages, you know. A friend of mine made a simple post on Facebook, and the next thing you know, he's been ripped apart by it. Nobody thought, hey, that's really good, I want to think about it. No, right away, everything was from a negative, angry perspective. And I go, you can't say anything anymore without someone coming along to rip you apart. That's the culture of the world. But we get to be part of something different. We get to be part of something different. A community that models a different culture. The culture of the kingdom, a culture not of anger or rage, but of love and hope. A community that values people through intentional, caring relationships. Amen? Light in the darkness. Here's a comment as I'm beginning to wrap up. I'll be done by tomorrow. And I forget the magazine I read it in. But I cut and paste the comment, and I want to read it for you. Listen to this. When the unchurched are asked what they're looking for in a church, the answer is always the same. They're looking for a caring church. Now, that's nothing new, but it goes on to say, not just a friendly church or a relevant church or a church with plenty of programs for the kids. And not just a church where the Bible is clearly taught. And it goes, as good and as essential are those as those things are. We need those things, okay? So it's not saying we don't need those things. But that's not the first thing under this they're looking for. He says, as good and as essential as those things are, they don't touch the deepest cry of this generation. They want to be truly loved. They want to be truly and loved truly and deeply. Let me say that again because I really messed that sentence up. They want to be loved truly and deeply.
That's the cry of their heart. It goes on to say, when the people of the world find such a place, they'll stand in line to get in. I want to believe that's true. But you know, the first community of believers was attractive to the culture. You know, they were intentional in expressing their love in practical ways. And as a result, in chapter 3, we read they enjoyed the favor of all of the people. And this is important. And the Lord added to their number daily. The Lord added to their number daily. How many want to see that happen? I sure do. In chapter 5, we read they were highly regarded by the people. I want to tell you, you know, what I've spelled out to you, it is, you know, it's near where we need to go. But it's going to take more than just good intention. Because I've got a lot of good intentions and I fail short every day. What we need is the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts. Because he's the one who will pour the love of the Father afresh in our hearts. Amen? See, when they met in the upper room, according to the instruction of Jesus, they prayed to receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit came. They were filled. And then something amazing happened. It gave birth to this amazing community. Amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And he's already poured it out. But we can press in and say, Holy Spirit, baptize us afresh. In fact, John the Baptist, he said something of Jesus in Matthew 3:11. He says, after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to baptize me afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. I want to participate in the kind of community I've described to you. I want to obey this command of Jesus, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. I want that to be my life. Amen. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you, Jesus, to baptize me afresh. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Burn out the hypocrisies of my life. Amen. Burn out the actor in me. And let me be a real authentic person that walks in real authentic relationship. Burn out the hypocrisy in me, that Pharisaical attitude that wants to look good for everybody, but our hearts are fried, that elevates me above my neighbor. Burn it out of me. Burn out the fear in me. Burn out the insecurity in me. Whatever it is that's stopping me from moving into the fullness of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has told us to do. This is the new wine because that's the new covenant. Burn out in me. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, baptize me afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. Burn out of me the dross, that stuff. And Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. And baptize me afresh this morning. Pour out the love of the Father in my heart afresh for Jesus' sake. Pour out the love of the Father in every part of my life. As you, Jesus, baptize me with your fire, you burn out all that stuff that is occupying the place in my heart. And as you burn it out, Holy Spirit, pour in the love of Father into my heart that we might be the people and build the community that you're calling us to build for Jesus' sake, that the culture of the kingdom would be demonstrated here on earth, light in the darkness. Amen.